listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you this day, and Lenten peace. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, we are nearing the end of our Lenten journey. For 4 weeks now, we have been traveling together as a congregation, traveling together with the whole body of Christ around the world, all those who observe Lent. I hope it's been a rich journey for you. We still have one more week to go, and then we get into Holy Week. I hope it's been a rich journey for you and for all those who observe Lent. Not everyone does, as we've been reminded here. I said on Ash Wednesday, the first day of our 40-day journey, practicing Lent is a very voluntary activity. The world beyond the church doesn't really do Lent. It's not like there are Lent sales at the stores. It's not in your face all the time like other church seasons, namely Christmas. The whole world, whether they want to or not, gets Christmas in their face. But Lent is a much quieter kind of season, one that only those who practice are going to practice. It's not shoved on us in quite the same way. Many, even in the church, don't do Lent. I was talking to some friends the other day who are part of a non-denominational megachurch, and they had never heard of Lent. I was talking to someone I met at a conference at Point Loma Nazarene, and they were just starting to discover Lent. And he said, this Ash Wednesday thing is really cool. Yeah, I've been doing it for centuries. We who do journey and reflect and observe Lent and its disciplines have some freedom then, because it's not everywhere. We have a little bit of freedom, and we've had some freedom to dig into Lent with as much or as little intensity as we please. I don't think that guilt or shame as a way of being church at Lent is very effective, ultimately. Nor is that the center of the Lenten practices. Rather, Lent is a time when we are invited back to God. We've heard that, we've sung that, we just did. Return to the Lord your God. That is at the essence of Lent. Turning back to God. We're invited to see ourselves molded in God's image during Lent. And yes, that image we see is broken and sinful if and when we are brutally honest, as we are invited to be during Lent. But finally, the other message of Lent is that finally and ultimately, we are redeemed in the loving work of Christ. As we hear stories through the season of his ministry, and finally of his cross, and his burial, and his resurrection. Lent is a finding ourselves totally dependent on God. That's a big definition for Lent, but consider that for a moment. Lent is a finding ourselves in total dependence of God. It takes some work to get there, to find ourselves in total dependence of God. It's not the world's right way. The world's right way is to be totally dependent on ourselves. But in Lent, we're invited to consider once again that we are totally and ultimately dependent on God. So where do you fit into all that? What does Christ's suffering and death, as we get closer and closer to the cross in this season, what does Christ's suffering and death have to do with you? Today and through these coming up highest holy days of our church calendar, I hope you hear that Christ's suffering and death has everything to do with you, to do with us as the body of Christ. That is to say that we are joined intimately, like a branch grafted to a tree. We are joined intimately to Christ's suffering and death. We are joined intimately through the waters of our baptism, like a branch grafted to a tree. We've got some gardeners here. It's almost as if that branch is buried into the other tree, into the older tree. It's a wonderful image. It comes from Scripture, both the Gospel of John and also from the letters of Paul, through the waters of our baptism, through the enduring love of God which overflows like Mary of Bethany's fragrant, expensive oil. That's how much God loves us. This extravagant love. That's how God's love overflows for us and for this whole world this day. God's love overflows like costly perfume. We are baptized. We are grafted, a new branch buried into an old tree. We are baptized into Christ's death, and therefore we are linked intimately with Christ's suffering. Now, what's going on with this anointing of Jesus' feet with the oil? That oil that Mary used was the kind of oil with which you would anoint the dead. It's a very curious gesture that she made those many, many years ago. It's a strange gesture, but it shows that Mary got it. Mary got who Jesus was and what he was about. The smell that filled the room, it said a fragrance filled the room in our scripture. The smell that filled the room was certainly a beautiful smell, a pleasing smell. But it was also the smell that reminded everyone of death, because that was the same oil that everyone knew you would use to anoint the dead. It's kind of like the smell of funeral home flowers. It smells nice, certainly, but everyone who knows that smell knows what's happened when you smell those flowers. It's a strange experience because death had not happened yet. Mary anoints Jesus' feet as a way of anticipating his burial, which was about to happen. She got it. She got that Jesus was going to die. And today, in a few moments, at the end of our Lenten journey, we will anoint one another, in part as anticipation for our burial. That might sound morbid, but it's true. We anoint one another in anticipation of our burial, but there is more to this story. We are buried, yes, but we are buried with Christ. We are grafted to Christ, and therefore we become new with Christ. There is healing with Christ because of Christ, on account of Christ. Regardless, as Paul reminds us, of anything that we've done. We've heard this a few times now in our service. It was in our second lesson that Jenny read. It's all about Christ and Christ's work and even Christ's faith. We are anointed today with a prayer of healing. Those of you who choose to come forward and we're able to come to you, we are anointed today with a prayer of healing and the laying on of hands. Yes, as a sign of God's love and healing and presence in our troubled lives. And we are anointed today as a sign of our upcoming burial. And finally, as a sign of our being joined to Christ, who shoulders our pain, who knows our suffering, who carries our brokenness and our sin and our sickness, and brings us at last to healing and peace and joy. It's all about Christ's work. It has nothing to do with our work or even our faith. I want to show you something. I want to invite you to open your worship folder up to that second lesson that Jenny read from Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. I want to just take you through two verses, verses 8 and verses 9. More than that, Paul writes to the Philippians, by the way, Philippi was kind of like San Diego. Do you know why? It was along the water. It's where a lot of the Roman military people would retire. It was a home for retired military. It was a trade route, a very busy port city, and a place where all the world would come and go. So Paul's letter to the Philippians, a little bit like Paul's letter to the San Diegans. More than that, Paul writes, I regard everything as loss. He's talking, of course, about all his credentials. He's got it all. He's got it all, and he regards everything as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish. This is a softened word, this word rubbish. I would use the SH word, and actually a lot of commentators say that. All that is worth you know what, Paul says. And those things are very important credentials in that period of time, and Paul just throws them out because of Christ. I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Found in him as opposed to finding Christ himself. This starts this theme here, that we are found by Christ. Sometimes you hear people talking about going and finding Jesus. Have you found Jesus yet? No, it's the other way around. I love Forrest Gump. He says, have you found Jesus yet? What does Forrest Gump say? Didn't know I was supposed to be looking. That's actually true. That's good theology, because we're not supposed to be looking, because Christ finds us. Christ finds us. I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. I want to stop at faith in Christ. We went round and round at seminary, and there are whole dissertations written about these three words, faith in Christ, because many translators disagree with this translating, that it would actually be the faith of Christ. Now, this might sound like just a simple little preposition, but this changes everything if you think about it. That our righteousness comes not through our faith in Christ, but rather the faith of Christ, which saves us. In other words, Christ never gives up on us. Christ's faith is so strong that it comes out like that father that we heard about last week with his robe hiked up to greet his lost son. The faith of Christ is a powerful thing. It's all about Christ acting upon us, friends. Christ joins us to himself through his death. It's like Christ takes us under the water with him. And when we come back up, everything is made new. We are buried with Christ, yes. But behold, the former things have passed away. Our former selves die. That is, our sin and our brokenness have passed away. And everything has been made new. Now, today, in Christ Jesus. So come and receive the oil of healing this morning. Bring your concerns and your ailments. Bring your brokenness and your doubt. Bring your illness and your anger, and let Christ again draw you to himself. Let Christ drown you with love and new life. Smell the fragrant oil. Smell the oil. Feel it run down your forehead. Feel the sign of the cross wipe across your forehead. And remember that you are buried with Christ, buried in love, buried in peace, and buried to reemerge with new life, with Christ life. Amen. We don't have any hymns at this point, and I want to invite you for a time of silence, just a few moments, some silence and prayer as we prepare for this service of healing. It's a time now to reflect on where you are in your life and where in your life you are in need of God's healing all the more. It's a time to reflect on your being buried and raised with Christ to new life. So I invite you now into this time of silence, and then we'll continue with the brief service of healing.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.